management, or ownership of WGCH Radio.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the clubhouse. Now I'm going to use my real voice. Hello, friends, and welcome to the clubhouse. I'm 1490 WGCH, WGCH.com. I'm Rob Adams. We're at Hotel MTK inside the hub in Mount Kisco. Great crowd on hand, great beverages being poured. It is just another star-studded edition as I say hello to my partner of 1.5 billion years, Mark Jeffers.
Well, you know, Rob, I got to tell you, Lena is doing a wonderful job. And Bob Smalls yelled at me already.
Are you jingling bells? No, go ahead.
How's my mic, Bob? Is it okay?
You sound fine now.
Yeah, now, see, there you go. It's all that. It's that pre-production stuff.
It is. It works.
We've got a family over there that loves Syracuse, so we've got a great crowd here tonight.
Well, but you got a fan that doesn't love Syracuse, so see, he's watching. He's keeping an eye on you, Virginia Tech, baby.
Virginia Tech. I know.
Little love for Va-Tech. There you go, Hokies.
But what a show tonight!
Huh? What a show. The producers, once again.
We're going to have to be, as Bob Small would say, a packed show.
It is packed.
But you know what? All fun.
Bursting at the seams.
And speaking of bursting at the seams, let's welcome in Dave Tromeo.
That's the wrong one.
So, somehow I'm insulted by this.
You know, your love for the radio show, I was thinking.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Well,
Wasn't I? I do love the show. And I am bursting at the seams, but that's a personal problem.
I don't know what to do with any of this.
I'm good. How are you?
What's going on?
Nothing. You know, we're just cruising along Manhattan University. It's really getting tough to say that.
It is. I'm having trouble getting used to that. And good for the university, but it's still an adjustment for me.
It's weird because it's such a small school, and it's still very, you know, tight-knit and... But it's to call it a university. To me, a university is a bigger, like Michigan, right?
By the way, curious for our audience, what makes it a university?
Well, I think what I always thought was that like research and grants and things like that, and the size of your library were. But what happened was New York State, I guess, changed the parameters of what made a university. That's why Mercy, Iona, all these colleges are now universities.
Mercy, I can't get used to that
either. Mercy University, Iona University. I'll never use
Iona University. That's true.
I worked at Iona College in athletics for so many years. But things are good. You know, we're rolling along. The sports business world, as we all know, continues to grow in ways, and we'll see it with the NFL schedule and Netflix and all this stuff. You know, it's a multi-billion dollar industry and not ending anytime soon.
And how are our podcasts coming along? Because you know what? I'm a fan of both your podcasts.
Yeah. So thank you. Well, Handwriter's Huddle, it's not my podcast.
Well, no, I know. And that Rob's also,
Rob is involved. Yeah. Terry Hamratty, former Steelers quarterback, Notre Dame All-American. That is growing very well. We haven't done our Popeye and Brutus podcast for a while because Bill's had some personal issues with his family. His wife got injured, actually, down in the Bahamas.
Oh, my.
She had a bad break of her leg, and they had to airlift her out. But that's getting better. And he's got two young girls coming home from college. So we put that off on hiatus. I think we're going to try to do one tomorrow. So that's Popeye and Brutus,
I'll send him our best.
No, I will. Thank you. He's a good guy. He wants to come to the show sometime.
He's invited, definitely.
Yeah.
As our guest on the air.
I just heard. Did you not hear Sean Kilkelly in your ear?
Well, I mean, I only have a good mic. My hearing, I can't hear.
Oh, okay. Sean is on top of these things.
I know. Sean, by the way, we're going to go to the station, and we're going to have Joe Namath with Sean. All right. But anyway, I'm very happy to introduce our new partner.
Your jokes are the best.
I know. That's why that's how they pay me the big money.
Right.
Very happy to introduce our new partner, the Metropolitan Section PGA of America guest director of junior golf, Dan Frankel. Dan, welcome to the clubhouse.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be here.
How are you, my friend?
I am doing great on this rainy Wednesday. Not the most ideal golf day, but still make sure we're playing out there, even in the rain.
All right, before we get into this great... By the way, he does sound a little bit like Brian Kroll.
A little bit.
I know, just saying.
A little bit.
Before we get into your great work with
Junior... That's the highest compliment someone can give.
There you go. Oh, my God. All right, we make sure we record this so Kroll
can
hear
it.
And there you have it.
Yep.
Before we get into your great work at the Junior Golf, tell us about this poker showdown last week at Citi Field.
Yeah, it was a really special and memorable evening. Jeff McNeil, the second baseman for the New York Mets, he's an ambassador for our foundation at the Met PGA, and him and his dear friend and world-renowned actor Hank Azaria decided to collaborate on this poker showdown night at Citi Field, both to raise money for the Met Section Foundation, as well as for one of Hank's passions, the Human Solidarity Project. And it was just a remarkable evening. Hundreds of people from all over the tri-state area coming to support and really just having an enjoyable evening playing poker, going to golf simulators, eating some delicious food, mingling with some of the great sponsors and vendors that were there. It was just such an amazing night, and we're so grateful to both Jeff and Hank for putting on such a special and extremely successful fundraiser for us.
I got to tell you, Dan, you know, I read the New York Post when I'm doing my sports reports, but I also saw on page six that you guys got a nice mention there as well. It was just kind of cool.
We did. We love the New York Post and their support. And, you know, we had so many heavy hitters in the room, not only support from the New York Mets and so many of Jeff's teammates, but some really famous actors like Bryan Cranston, who I had a little bit of a celebrity fanfare over because of my love for the show Breaking Bad. It was so great to have Bryan Cranston there. And just so many other wonderful people supporting the cause. It was a great evening.
Okay, so what else is going on with the Met PGA Foundation and its mission, growing the game?
Great question. So actually, this is a perfect segue because a lot of our programming just started over the last week or so. PGA Hope, which is our veteran initiative, teaching veterans how to play golf, just started yesterday for the season. We have four different classes going on, one in the Bronx at Moshaloo Golf Course, one on Long Island at Sunken Meadow Golf Course, actually a second site out on Long Island at a course called Long Island National out in Riverhead, as well as our fourth class is a little bit upstate from there in Rockland County at a fantastic facility called Spook Rock. So it's really just a tremendous way for the section to give back to our heroes, to give back to our veterans, and to thank them for all of that they've done to sacrifice and to give us the freedoms that we have. So PGA Hope is one of the most special parts of our foundation. Another one of our pillars is youth golf. We run a junior tour with about 120 tournaments that mostly take place from the end of June through the end of August. So it's a summer program. But registration just opened for those events, and it's our way of growing the game and making sure that we have a healthy and successful future for golf by making sure that lots of youngsters are out there playing.
Wow, that's very good. All right, so give us an example of some of the junior golf events that are coming up.
Yeah, absolutely. So this coming weekend, actually, at Bethpage, we have something called our Future Series. Those are our more expert-level junior golfers, if you will. The kids who are looking to get recruited to college golf or maybe even beyond college, become an LPGA professional or PGA professional, or maybe even play on tour one day. So that'll be taking place Saturday and Sunday at Bethpage Blue. It'll also serve as a qualifier for one of the biggest national junior golf championships, the IMG Worlds, which takes place in San Diego later on this summer. So we're excited. We have about 100 players that are going to be there. And it's going to be interesting to see what the results are. We're expecting some pretty low scores out there.
Dan, this is Rob Adams, and thanks so much for your time tonight. My question for you is, we've got such a kind of nasty rainy day. How does a golfer work on his game on a day like this? I know you can play, but what would you do outside of actually playing? You know, how do you work on your game?
That's a great question, Robin, and thank you so much for the kind words. It's a pleasure to be here. So I actually recently, I don't play too much these days. I'm on the golf course a lot at events and running tournaments, but unfortunately I have some young kids at home, so it's difficult to get away and play. But recently I did have the privilege of playing, and I got to the 10th hole, and I was with some of my coworkers, and it just started pouring, and it was cold out there, and it was windy. And I'll tell you what, if you can learn to play in those conditions, it makes it really easy to play in the sunshine and warmth. So sometimes it's a good thing to play in some adverse conditions, just because when it's a beautiful day out, it makes it a little bit easier. But obviously, one of the big fads that's come across golf over the last two, 3 years have been the building of indoor simulators. Mm. And there's a ton of indoor facilities that have simulators, and people are even building them in their homes. So it's a great thing for golfers wanting to work on their games to take advantage of. Find a local indoor facility that has a simulator, and it could be like being out on the course. It's a lot of fun.
You know what, Dan? Thank you so much for all your help and being on the show tonight and for teaching our area youth about golf. That's really huge. Where can our audience learn more about the Met PGA Foundation?
Absolutely. If you go to www.metpgafoundation.org, all of our information is there. Our three pillars, again, are youth, military, and inclusion. And our goal is to do anything and everything we can to grow the game and make sure that those most underserved by the game are included. So please feel free to visit our website, and we hope to see you at an event in the not-too-distant future.
All right, Dan. Thanks again for joining us on the Clubhouse. Round of applause for Dan.
Thank you so much for having me.
And on that note, I'm going to read something, and then we're going to take a break. What do you think of that?
Super.
Okay, thank you. Splash Mark in Bedford Hills is proud to be entering its 30th year of serving the Bedford Hills community. We offer a complete range of services for the maintenance of your car, including full-service hand washing. Washing your car using thick foaming soap and lamb's wool mitts, we vacuum the interior, wipe down the dash and door jams, all in less than 15 minutes with no appointment needed, especially if your name is Dave Toromeo. Or opt for the super fast exterior express wash. You're in and out in no time. Plus, you can use our free self-service vacuums when you get a wash. And there's our full-service oil change, which includes a 21-point inspection and a free car wash. We have all sorts of detailing services available while you wait all the way to our 5-star complete detail. It's heavy stuff. What could be more convenient, I ask you? Your car deserves a better car wash and oil change. Splash, located at 570 North Bedford Road in Bedford Hills. The copy being complete, we say splash. We take a break.
Well done.
Thank you. And music, too. We're back after this. 1490 WGCH, WGCH.com.
Today's teenager is tomorrow's potential regular customer. That's what the tobacco industry said about us. But what does it say about them? That they'll do anything to recruit new smokers. Like using menthol flavors to make products smoother and better tasting, so they're easier to start and harder to quit. In other words, menthol is not just a flavor. It's a way for big tobacco to attract and addict us. And there's nothing just about it. Take action at notjustmenthol.org.
Brought to you by Power Against Tobacco.
For 2 hours, every Thursday night at 6, listen in and even converse with the man in the know regarding all matters Greenwich. Listen to Sam Romeo's show, Greenwich Matters, brought to you by Parsonage, where their philosophy is to assist you in living life your way. And by Finocchio Brothers, we knows our business. From the beach to the backcountry, education, recreation, or politics, Greenwich Matters every Thursday night at 6 on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
Back with you on the Clubhouse at 7:16 here from the Hub. Hotel MTK in Mount Kisco. Lena taking good care of us as always. Rob, Mark, Dave, Bob is here as well. Sean Kilkelly in the studio, and another show just flying on by, and the producers once again outdoing themselves.
Well, I got to tell you, Rob, this he's able to get us in because, you know, we're gonna have Bruce up here in Mount Kisco when things are quieter, but right now
that
we can't.
Great.
But it's a true pleasure to introduce Bruce Beck, who has been part of the NBC4 New York team for over two decades. Now in his 25th year, he serves as the station's lead sports anchor and is the host of NBC4's popular Sunday night sports show, Sports Final. Bruce also works as a sideline reporter on the New York Giants preseason football. Bruce, welcome back to the Clubhouse.
Hey, thanks, guys. Good to be with you.
So, The rumor is that you've actually put a sleeping bag at Madison Square Garden. Is that true?
It's funny. Somebody asked me if I have a little somewhere nearby, a hotel or something. I worked at MSG for 12 years from 1982 to 1994. My last year there was the year that the Knicks and the Rangers both went to the finals, and the Rangers finally won the cup, and the Knicks lost in Game 7 to Houston. So this is a redo. This is like, here we go again, 1994, and it's been absolutely electric at the Garden, and I can't say that we've gone through anything like this since 94.
I was watching you last night. You're doing your stand-up for the news. And the fan atmosphere, describe it to our audience. It must have been crazy.
I thought last night was the best Knick crowd in a long, long time. It was the loudest. And the Knick crowd had to get involved in order to get this team across the line, because coming off a 32-point debacle in Game 4 where they trailed by as many as 43, I didn't think there was much hope. And people thought that the series might have been ended, that was it. But rumors of their demise were greatly exaggerated, and the energy, I think, of the building helped propel the Knicks. Plus, Brunson had more lift. He was spectacular in his fifth 40-point game of the postseason. And the Knicks just, they just put away Indiana. And this series has been very, very hard to figure out. But at the same time, it's been absolutely fascinating.
Bruce, it's Rob Adams. Always a pleasure to talk with you. And I'm fascinated by this series as well. I mean, Friday night, you get back to it with the Knicks and Indy. Can the Knicks wrap it up, or do you feel like we're going to be back at the Garden on Sunday?
I think we're going to be back at the Garden on Sunday.
Me too.
But Indiana has not lost at home in the postseason. That's a great home venue. And they're a young team in many ways that just finds their identity at home. And I still think the Knicks can put some pressure on them early. And if they do, you wonder how some of these Indiana players are going to react. But I just think it's a tough game. It just, the venues seem to be very different. And the home team seems to thrive. And I just think that we're going to see a Game 7 at the Garden. It wouldn't have surprised me if the Knicks lost last night, but now they've got some juice again, and I think they've got a chance to go in there, but it's still going to be a challenge. But this is why they play the games, Rob. You just don't know what to expect in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You saw crazy stuff happen in that Denver-Minnesota series in the first four games, where home court meant nothing, and in this series, home court means everything.
Hey, Bruce, Dave Taromeo here, and I'm proud to say that we worked together at one point when I was at Iona, now University, with MSG, and congratulations not only on a great career, but really anybody that you ask in this industry, they will say Bruce Beck is the nicest guy, and I'm not saying that, but for reasons unknown, but I just want you to know that you're really highly regarded.
Thanks for the nice words, Dave.
Yeah,
I really
do. Of course. Well, I mean, but my question really is, in 25 years, what is your favorite moment, or can you pin it down to one or two?
I mean, I guess if you look at how long I've been in New York, I came to New York in 1982, so I saw a lot of success with the teams at the beginning. And we've really faltered in recent years. The last title, among the four major team sports was the Giants, the 2011 season, the 2012 Super Bowl, and the Yankees in 2009 when they won the World Series. So there's been a long drought. But along the way, early on, there were some magical moments. There was Tyree catching the ball on his helmet as the Giants won the Super Bowl, and perhaps the greatest play in Super Bowl history. There was American Pharoah finally winning the Triple Crown, the first one in 37 years. I thought it would never happen. I was at Belmont Park 11 times. Horses tried to win the Triple Crown. He had won the first two legs and faltered. There was, Mariano Rivera's, final moment where Pettit and Jeter took him out. It was Jeter's 3,000th hit. He went 5 for 5 in the ballgame, and his 3,000th hit was a home run.
Yeah.
There was the funeral of Wellington Mara, which hit me like nothing else did. I had never covered a funeral, and he was a pillar in the NFL, and he was a legend in the sports industry. And to see that at St. Patrick's Cathedral, you know, hit me like nothing I ever went through before. So there have been so many moments. The Giants winning another Super Bowl and the Yankees winning 4 out of 5. I mean, there's so many things that the Yankees were dominant. And then I saw that night where Mariano, you know, lost the game in Arizona after they had won 3 in a row, and you thought that they were going to make it 4 in a row. So I guess there have been a lot of moments, hard to pick one, but I would say that Tyree's catch on his helmet, you know, may have impacted me more than anything else.
Interesting.
I got to tell you, Bruce, me too. That was a great, you know, as a Giants fan, that was unbelievable. All right, so Bruce, I have to turn to our other Garden playoff team, the New York Rangers. They travel tomorrow to Carolina for Game 6, leading 3-2. Your thoughts, are you sleeping over for that Game 7, or what do you think?
I think the Rangers can win tomorrow in Carolina. The Rangers have not lost 3 in a row since January, guys, when they had that 4-game losing streak. So I think it was like the 8th to the 13th. So they haven't lost 3 in a row in a long time. Now, they're playing a very good team. The other night in the locker room, Trocheck goes, by the way, those guys, you know, had 3 less points than us during the regular season. And they've made the playoffs 6 straight years. And this is a Carolina team that's disciplined, well-coached. They muck and grind. Don't pay attention to 50-something shots. That doesn't mean anything to me because they're not always quality shots. But they're a good team, and they've now got momentum going back to their building. But the Rangers have won 25 games on the road this year. They are a fierce, competitive team on the road. Peter Laviolette will challenge that front group. Panarin, Zibanejad, Kreider, Igor Shesterkin, they've got to step up. The stars have to perform. I think the Rangers can win this game. If not, it comes back to Game 7 in the Garden. And now, you know, you're tight because you've lost 3 in a row and you're going to try to salvage Game 7? That's tough to do. I mean, only 4 teams in the history of the NHL come back with a 3-0 deficit to win. Is this going to be the 5th? I really don't think so. I think the Rangers end it tomorrow night in Carolina.
I like your thoughts there. All right, Bruce, one thing I want to talk a little bit about before we let you go is congratulations on the Bruce Beck Sports Broadcasting Camp. This summer, July 8th through the 12th, is sold out, but the waiting list is available. Can you tell our audience a little bit about this really, really cool camp?
Well, it's an opportunity for me to mentor, and I love that more than anything else. And we're basically, you know, creating the next generation of sports broadcasters or helping to establish. They get to interview an athlete. They read from the teleprompter. They do sports talk radio. They do a myriad of reports. The whole concept is how can youngsters find their voice? And I don't mean find their voice in terms of their voice. I mean be able to speak in front of others in a room, learn how to shake hands with somebody the right way, look in someone's eyes for eye contact. So it's an introduction to the field, and it's a marvelous interactive opportunity for kids to get a little taste of what the industry is like. We do it at Iona University. We're doing a game this year at Citi Field. They're calling the Mets game. They'll meet with some of the Mets administration before the game, and they take a road trip to MetLife Stadium. So I think it's a week where kids describe it as one of the best weeks of their life, and we love to have some of the top broadcasters in New York come in and just give kids the opportunity to get a great exposure in a fascinating industry.
Bruce, I do play-by-play, and I also teach sports broadcasting, and I think what you do is so important with the camp. It's so important to mentor the young voices who want to get involved. So I don't know that I necessarily have a question other than how do you teach it? What would your style? What is your style? Because what you're doing is so important to bring these young voices along.
I think everybody, you know, I think everybody, Mark and Rob and Dave, should have their own style. I'm not trying to make them be like me.
Sure.
I don't want them to necessarily be like Mike Breen or Ian Eagle. They need to find their own way and trust their own instincts. But I talk about the three important pillars, which is attention to detail, preparation, and relationships being more important than anything else. And during the week, if they meet a Mike Breen or a Ryan Rucco or an Ian Eagle or a Meredith Marakovich or a Gary Apple or a Mark Melusis, and they will meet those, you know, maybe they get a phone number. Maybe they get their email. Maybe they talk to them about what they need to work on. I just think that reps is everything.
Yeah.
You need to get experience. And it's hard. Sometimes, how does a kid get experience? Or how does somebody out of college get experience in his first job? It's almost challenging because you need experience to get experience, but how are you going to get it? So what I'm saying is, whatever you're doing, even if it's at school, get reps, start your own club, turn down the TV. I used to announce my mom with utensils in the kitchen. Doris Beck started to bake the cake. Now she's working on the outside. She's got the frosting. My mom thought I was a little bit crazy, but she never,
mine too.
Never talked down to me because maybe she thought I was on to something. So I think you just got to get yourself some exposure and just try it. And anything you can do to get reps and experience is absolutely the key.
And what did Red Barber say to Vin Scully? Be yourself. Be yourself is always – I totally agree.
One.
Totally agree with you, Bruce. Totally agree.
Well, Bruce, I got to tell you.
I mean,
first,
I wanted to be Marv as a kid, you know?
Oh, there you go.
There you
I was
go.
Imitating Marv Albert as a youngster.
Yes.
I could say Marty Flipson impersonation.
Well, Bruce says
– But eventually you find yourself. Eventually you find a voice. And it took me years. These kids are better than I am. I mean, some of my disciples like Scott Braun and you know, Jesse Kirsch, who's now on NBC News at the age of 27. I mean, you know, guys are better than I was back then by far. Their voices are good. They've got experience. They're poised. It's amazing. The young kids of today are fantastic. So maybe we could just help them along in that pursuit and give them something that they can latch on, that they can enjoy. There's got to be joy in this business.
Oh, absolutely.
It can't just be, you know, mechanics. It can't just be grinding through and calling the game. There was a joy last night at the Garden. You know, my heart was pounding at the Ranger game the other night. That's what makes it fun. That's why you know you still want to do it, and that's why you're in this industry.
All right, you got to tell you something. Miss, you are one of our favorite guests, obviously, Bruce, and also a mentor that, you know, hopefully all of our students that we teach in Manhattanville and Rob as his in his school as well. Thank you so much for joining us on the Clubhouse, and, you know, good luck with the rest of all the big sports stuff coming up, and don't forget to watch Sports Final, everybody. Thanks
there
again, Bruce.
Thanks, Bruce.
Thanks. A pleasure to be in the Clubhouse, guys. Good luck to all of you. Appreciate it, Mark, Rob, and Dave.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bruce. We take a break. We'll be right back. Got a big guest coming up right after this. The producers outdone themselves once again on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com.
Big Tobacco's customers are dying. But instead of pulling their products off shelves, they're using menthol flavors to recruit a new generation of smokers. Menthol makes products smoother and better tasting, so they're easier for us to start and harder for us to quit. In other words, menthol is not just a flavor. It's a way for tobacco companies to attract and addict us. And there's nothing just about it. Take action at notjustmenthol.org.
Brought to you by Power Against Tobacco.
Greenwich has its own sports talk program. Doubleheader weekday afternoons at 4 on 1490 WGCH. Join me, Rob Adams, as we talk about all sports, high schools, youth sports, college, the pros, and anything else. It's your show, so let's make it interactive. It's lively and it's fun. Call me at 203-661-5051 and be a part of it. That's Doubleheader weekdays at 4 on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
But yet they hate.
7:31 on the Clubhouse. We're in Mount Kisco at Hotel MTK. Rob Adams, Mark Jeffers, Dave Taromio, Bob Small sitting right here. We're just one big happy family back in the Clubhouse.
Is that right?
Yes, indeed. And by the way, Bruce can be as modest as he wants. No one's better than Bruce.
All right. I understand from our lovely producer, Sean, that it's a real honor to welcome Mr. Mike Ruzioni, the captain of the 1980 Winter Olympics United States national team that defeated the Soviet Union in the famous Miracle on Ice game in which he scored the game-winning goal. He is also the author of the national bestseller, The Making of a Miracle, the untold story of the captain of the gold medal-winning 1980 U.S. Olympic hockey team. Mike, so happy to have you back on the clubhouse.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
So I understand that you've been traveling a lot lately, and you were able to take some time to join us tonight, but how are the trips going? What's going on?
Good. Just traveling a little. I still have an opportunity to do some speaking engagements here and there. I'm actually heading to Dallas tomorrow morning to speak at a sales meeting. I thought I was supposed to leave today. And when we talked last week, I said, geez, I can't do it. I'm going to be on a plane. Then realized that I'm flying out tomorrow. But, just doing some things that I've still been doing since 1980. But I do work at Boston University. I've been there almost 30 years in the athletic department, fundraising, development kind of position. And still do some speaking. And fortunate I get to invited once in a while to play in some charity celebrity golf tournaments. So life's good.
So, Mike, in last July, your family and you were up to Lake Placid, and you were on the ice with them. Tell us a little bit about that experience.
It was unbelievable. I actually have a store in Lake Placid, and part of the reason me going back was the opening of a store. It used to be the USA Hockey Store. Now it's the Mike Ruzioni team shop, and in the store, they have a lot of my stuff, hockey jerseys, golf shirts, a bunch of different things. You can go on that site, the Mike Ruzioni team shop, but I wish I did it 40 years ago. So anyway, they opened up the store with my name on it, and I brought the grandkids back. My wife hadn't been there since 1980. My daughter's never been there. And my two sons have been there because they played in some Can-Am tournaments years ago, but the grandkids had never been there. And it turned out that they were the first grandkids ever to skate on the rink in 1980.
Wow.
From any of the team members. So they had camera crews there. They were, filming everybody and talking about it. And it was great for me to see the eyes of my grandkids of what took place in Lake Placid, although they know a little bit about it. We don't talk about it. What I did, as I even told my own kids, what I did is what I did, what you do is what you do. But my sons and daughter to bring their kids up there to skate was pretty cool. And like I said, to see their eyes and the look on their faces as they got to see a little bit more about, what Papa and his teammates did so many years ago. And I remember my 7-year-old grandson came up to me because they were interviewing everybody, and he says, "Papa, you're famous." And I said, "No, I'm not famous. Papa was part of a team that accomplished something pretty special." And I it was just fun to see them and what it was like for them to kind of get a different look at it other than what they've heard or been told.
It's still a goal of mine to go broadcast a game from Lake Placid. I still hope to do that one day. But, Mike, this is Rob Adams. And I always...
Hey, Rob.
So nice to talk with you, Mike. And I always wonder, Paul McCartney plays Hey Jude every night. Is there a moment that you say, hey, I'm more than the 1980 Olympics? Is there ever a time you think, maybe I don't want to talk about it today?
No, I understand it. I get it. Let's be realistic here. It's been 40-something years.
Yeah.
And I think I take great pride and joy that my teammates and I were part of something that touched the lives of so many people. People come up to me and they have a story to tell. I remember where I was. I remember who I was with. I've had people come up to me over the years and just start crying because the moment meant something to them. It might have been the last game that they, sat and watched with their father or mother or grandfather or grandmother. It was a moment that touched the lives of a country, and we didn't know it. We were just playing. So who am I to deprive somebody of telling their story about what that moment meant to them?
And I can always hear your pride come across when we talk with you. It's obvious, and that's wonderful.
Yeah, well, that's what it was. It was an athletic event by a group of guys who believed, and we accomplished something special at a very difficult time in our country. You know, you look back to 1980, and a lot of people that are listening probably might remember or not remember, but the hostages, the gas lines, who's going to be the president. It was a very difficult time. You know, we could use the 1980 right now.
Yeah, we sure could.
Absolutely. Sure could.
But it was a moment that touched the lives of so many people in this country for whatever reason. And when somebody comes up to me or talks to me or sends me a letter, who am I to deprive them of that moment that was special to them? Clearly, I know it was special to us. But when you realize it was a moment that touched people in so many different ways, I have no problem talking about it. And I enjoy because I bring a smile to their face and makes them feel like they were a part of that moment. So, you know, it's not every day, but, I do deal with it quite a bit. But, hey, you know, we could have lost.
That's true.
Things would have been different. So we did something as a team that accomplished an amazing event that touched our country, and that's great to feel a part of that. It's not a Super Bowl or a World Series, you know, when, you know, Chicago wins or Boston wins or L.A. wins. This is the Olympic Games. This is when you put a USA jersey on, and I've said this many times, other than being in the military or police or firefighter, to put a USA jersey on and represent your country is the ultimate honor. And my teammates and I were fortunate to be a part of it and made it so special.
Mike, Dave, Taromeo, great to speak to you again. And I think I said this last time we spoke, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for that memory and for what you guys did. And you're right. You hit all the points about what it meant to people like us, what it meant at the time. And Papa, you are famous. And congratulations and thank you. But my question really is, I'm going to turn a little bit downward here, is that can never happen again because now, amateur, it's a different world. And professionals are playing in the Olympics, and now, quite frankly, you work at BU. Professionals are playing in college sports because of NIL and all that stuff. What are your thoughts on all the changes in the sports landscape?
Well, welcome to what year are we in? Welcome to 2024. Yeah. It's a different world. It's a different sports. I'm not a big fan of the NIL. I'm not a big fan of the portal. But that's just the way things are. I work at Boston University. We've got a great hockey program. We've got women's softball teams going out to the NCAA tournament. They're going to play out in Oklahoma. They play Oregon. Our men's basketball, I can go on about the sports at Boston University.
Yeah.
It's just, you know what, to me, the NIL and the portal, it just makes the rich get richer. But that's just the world that we're living in. And you got to either, deal with it and compete and find a way to compete. But it is very, very different. But that's the world we're in. And I don't like it, but you got to deal with it or you're going to just fall by the wayside. So, It's just very different.
It's different. I agree with you.
And environment.
Yeah, it's different, and it's not
even the pros in the Olympic Games. Years ago, I was would never have thought about it. I wouldn't have agreed with it. But you know what? I'd like to see the pros in there now. I like to see the best players in the world compete against each other. It's different than it was in 1980.
Yeah.
All the countries are better now. The U.S. clearly is one of the favorites when we go in. And, in my lifetime, I'm waiting for that next gold medal. And I hope it happens because then people will leave me and my teammates alone.
Okay. Well, appreciate the answer, and I agree with you. But you do have, speaking of BU, I think you have the top NHL prospect coming out. And can you tell us a little bit about him? He's going to be the number one pick coming out.
Oh, he's awesome.
Yep.
He's awesome. Macklin Celebrini.
Yes.
You know what? He's 17 years old. It's hard to believe. I help out with my high school team here in my hometown, and we have three kids in our high school team that are older than Macklin. But he's just an awesome kid. I would love to see him stay another year, and I say that only because he's going to go to San Jose, I'm sure, with Mike Greer as the general manager, who's a BU guy. And they're not going to be very good for the next 3 or 4 years. They're building, maybe another year of college hockey for him just to not get thrown into the fire right away. And play with players that's going to be difficult to win. But I understand San Jose's position because I'm sure they're going to draft him. If not, maybe I'm
oh, they will.
Right.
Yeah.
maybe San Jose needs him to sell tickets, season ticket holders. But he's a pleasure to watch play. He's a quality kid. Like I said, I spent a lot of time in my offices right next to the head coach's office, so I watched a lot of practices. And a quick funny story, I said, Mac, I said, you know, I played at Boston University. I said, I'm in the Hall of Fame. I'm the third all-time leading scorer. I played on the U.S. Olympic team. I won an Olympic gold medal. I scored the winning goal against the Soviets. And you're getting more mail than me. He kind of got a kick out of it because he's a quality kid, and I'm excited about his future. But honestly, I'd love to see him come back one more year because we're going to be good again next year.
Nice.
All right, Mike, since we're in the New York market, we have to ask you about the your thoughts on the on the Rangers-Hurricane series.
I'll be very honest with you. I thought Carolina was going to give him a battle. I thought Carolina was one of the best teams in the NHL all year, as were the Rangers. I was shocked that it was 3-0. And now it's, you know, now it's down to 3-2 and 3-1 back to Carolina. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, my college hockey coach always said, when it comes to playoffs, don't call it hockey, call it goalie. And you see the Bruins series, you see the way Swayman's been playing for Boston. Again, I never thought Boston was going to win last night in Florida. I was very surprised that Carolina went in and won in New York, but Carolina's good. I mean, they're really good. So I expect a seventh game. But then again, I never thought Boston was going to go down and win the other night. So it's playoff hockey. Clearly, the Rangers are one of the best teams in the league, but that President's Trophy is kind of cursed the last few years. But, I know New York has got to be flipping out right now between the Knicks and the Rangers. So I don't think we'll see a Boston-New York final. I still think Florida's the better team, but you never know. But there could be a Knicks-Celtics, and that could be interesting.
Could be,
You kind of took my question, but I'll throw it out there anyway. So you don't see the Bruins getting to a Game 7, huh?
I don't know if they – No, Game 7. No, I can see Boston.
Oh, you can see that.
Right?
Okay.
Only just based on – it's a possibility. Anything's a possibility. You're
sure.
talking to somebody who nobody in the world thought we could win what we did. So, you know, I always believe anything can happen.
Yeah.
But I think still Florida. I think Florida's a deeper team. I think their forwards are deeper. But the way Swayman's playing, it's going to be a great, you know, sixth game. It's in Boston. Maybe there's a chance Marchand comes back. If he doesn't, they still won without him. Maybe he comes back for a Game 7 down in Florida. But I wouldn't be surprised if there's a seventh game. I'd be more surprised there's a seventh game with Boston than I would be with Carolina and the Rangers. Hmm.
Fair enough.
You know, Mike, before we let you go, I wanted to, you know, Father's Day's coming up, and I think, you know, your 2020 book, The Making of a Miracle, is a great book for Father's Day. Tell our audience where they can get a hold of that book, and, you know, tell us a little bit about that book before we let you go.
Well, I was approached a while ago before I wrote the book with Neil Baudette, who called me. He wanted to write a book about the 80 Olympic team, and the guys on the team said, no, we're not really interested. That's just typical of my teammates. We don't gather attention or anything. We're kind of like living our lives very under the radar to some degree, but as we're all a little old now and, you know, the game's the game and it's over. It was a while ago. But so he called me and I said, look, the guy's not interested. And he says, why don't you write a book? And I went, oh, I don't want to write a book. Then you got to go to book signings. You got to travel around. You got to meet with people. And then I thought about it more and more. And I said, you know what? I'll do it. Let's write a book. And I wrote the book with Neil, one reason and one reason only. I want my grandkids to know that Papa's life wasn't one game or one goal or one moment. I want my grandkids to know about their grandfather, their great-grandfather, their family. I'm a very close-knit type family. I wanted them to know about my family, my brothers and sisters, their cousins, their aunts, their uncles, and more about me than just a hockey game and one moment. And that was it. That's what I said to the guys. Look at that. You know, and it came out before COVID, so fortunately for me, I didn't have to travel around the country and go to book signings and things like that. And the book is, for what I've been told by everybody, it's been very successful. It became a bestseller. And I just wanted to tell my story And more importantly, the reason behind the book was for my grandkids to know that Papa's life wasn't one goal against the Soviets or one moment. You know, I've had a pretty successful life prior to 1980 and as an athlete and what I've done. And I wanted them to know that. And that's the reason behind the book. And HarperCollins is the publisher. I guess you can get it on Amazon. You can get anything on Amazon. That was the reason. That was the theory behind the book. And that's it. That's the story.
Mike, I can't thank you enough for being on the Clubhouse. We really appreciate it. As always, joining us. And thank you again. And you have a wonderful Father's Day.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to play golf somewhere, but we'll figure that
that's
out.
That's what we
all right,
we
like to hear that.
Nice.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, guys. Take care.
A quick break, and then away we go with the Clubhouse Report right after this on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com.
Today's teenager is tomorrow's potential regular customer. That's what the tobacco industry said about us. But what does it say about them? That they'll do anything to recruit new smokers. Like using menthol flavors to make products smoother and better tasting, so they're easier to start and harder to quit. In other words, menthol is not just a flavor. It's a way for big tobacco to attract and addict us. And there's nothing just about it. Take action at notjustmenthol.org.
Brought to you by Power Against Tobacco.
The Beatles. No band has had a greater impact on music and pop culture. Hi, this is Rob Adams. Please join me Sunday mornings at 9 as we meet the Beatles. The music of John, Paul, George, and Ringo will be examined as a band and as solo artists. We'll also review their influences and the impact they had on the world. So join me for Meet the Beatles with Rob Adams, Sunday mornings at 9 on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com.
You know, we're going to do an edition of Meet the Beatles. We're going to cover John, Paul, George, and Jeffers. That show is coming up very soon. But more importantly, the band is not going to play us any Beatles songs right now. They're going to play us an important theme song. Hit it.
Dun, 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 dun.
The Clubhouse Report with your host, Mark Jeffers.
You know, that opening makes me sad every night.
I'm sorry.
Just kidding.
No.
Thanks, Robin. Welcome to the Clubhouse Report.
It was the band asking who. Yeah, we know who you are.
Let's start on the court, shall
Let's
we?
Go.
In the NBA playoffs, the banged-up New York Knicks left for dead after dropping two games in Indy, returned to Madison Square Garden last night, and drilled the Pacers in Game 5, 121-91. Game 6 is Friday night in Indy. Thoughts?
Winning in Indy is going to be very tough. Jalen Brunson has played out of his mind. He's not the issue. It's the rest of the supporting cast that is a bit of an issue. You need Josh Hart. You need Hartenstein. You need all those guys to step up if the Knicks want to make this Eastern Conference final.
Yeah, but remember, they played a different game last night with a different lineup, and I think that, you know, so I think I could see them going into Indy and winning. I really can. And, I mean, if not, Game 7, there's nothing, and you're talking to an Islander fan, but I'm also a Knicks fan, there is nothing like a crowd like that at the Garden.
No.
Nothing like it in the world.
Well, as Bruce was saying earlier, I mean, it in MSG. I mean,
MSG, the New York crowds in general, but MSG, that when that place gets rocking, I've been there before. When the roof comes off, it's unbelievable.
All right, the WNBA started last night with the New York Liberty beating the Washington Mystics 85-80. In Caitlin Clark's debut, she had a tough shooting night as her Indiana Fever lost to Connecticut Sun 92-71. The New York Liberty head to Indiana this Thursday to face Clark and the Fever with a 7 o'clock tip-off. You know, she still scored 20 points.
She'll be just fine.
She has 10 turnovers, too.
She is a different level of player. I'm a Caitlin Clark fan, I admit.
It's going to take her a while to adjust to this league.
Yes,
come on,
I agree.
So, yeah.
I agree. But
you should.
The ratings. No, but the ratings and the audience is unbelievable.
Oh, fantastic.
It's going to be amazing.
Sports.
Yeah, they sold out Mohegan Sun.
Yes, they did.
In NHL Stanley Cup action, the New York Rangers have dropped their last two games to the Carolina Hurricanes.
Uh-oh.
But still lead the series 3-2 with Game 6 set for tomorrow night in Carolina with a 7 o'clock faceoff. And, you know, as we've talked about earlier, guests. But your thoughts, Rob?
I'm worried about them. They looked flat. Very flat, in fact, in in game five, and when it starts, when you're up 3-0, you lose game four, you kind of go, okay, we'll get it in game five. When you lose game five, that's when I officially get concerned.
Well, here's the thing. Carolina is very good.
Yes.
And they, I mean, the two games that they lost, one in overtime, one in double overtime. So, you know, it would be really, it would behoove the Rangers to wrap this up in Carolina. And I think they, I agree with Bruce Beck, I think they can do it. They were due for a game like that. Let's be honest. I mean, you can't go throughout these whole playoffs without having a dud. They had their dud.
They had a dud.
Before, it was a dud. So, you know, you move on.
They
you
can't,
forget it and move on.
They can't play as flat as they did in game five.
They can't, no.
And by the way, if that game gets – if they get back to the Garden for game seven, you can't have a Garden crowd that's booing the Rangers.
Well, they won't boo the Rangers. No, so here's the thing.
No, you really can't.
The biggest thing is that Shesterkin has given up four goals in two games in a row, right? So at least Carolina says, well, we know we can beat this guy because he's been out of his mind.
He's been out of his mind. Yep.
All right, let's turn to some Sandlot action. Dave, the New York Mets were shut out yesterday.
Let's go back to hockey for
by the Philadelphia Phillies. The two travel to Philly, which is we're kind of a weird home-and-home series, but the two travel to Philly tonight with a 6:40 first pitch. We'll get an update in a second. And the New York Yankees defeated the red-hot Minnesota Twins last night 5-1. The two play again tonight in Minnesota with a 7:40 first pitch.
Let's be honest.
Do you have concerns?
Yeah, I think the Mets stink, but I mean,
I guess that would be a concern.
Yes,
they are through four. Mets lead the Phillies 2-1, and
yeah,
they're bottom of the first in Minneapolis. And the Yankees lead the Twins 1-0.
Here's the thing about the Yankees and the Twins: you could throw the Yankee jersey on a bunch of little leaguers out there against the Twins, and they'll win.
It is amazing.
It's their kryptonite.
And by the way, Aaron Judge is 11th home run of the year.
We like to see that as Yankee fans.
Yes, we do.
The Mets have work to do. Mets have a lot of work to do.
Yes, they do.
And Bob Smoltz's favorite sport in MLS action. It was a good week for the area teams, as the New York Red Bulls are off to a good start with a 5-2-5 record and currently in third place, while NYFC is 5-5-2 and moved up to fifth place in the East. Both teams play tonight with 7:30 starts. On the women's side,
wake up, Bob. Wake up.
In the WSL, Gotham FC is 3-2-3 in early season.
Nobody does.
Nor do we.
We try to cover all sports in the Clubhouse Report.
Yes, we do.
Well,
all right. Turning to some
cricket sound effect.
Hold on, Bob. Get the motor running. You know, there was no F1 this week. Get the motor running.
Watch your mouth.
Turning to some auto racing news on the NASCAR circuit. Brad Keselowski took the checkered flag at the Goodyear 400 at Darlington Raceway. Bob, any thoughts on my mispronunciation of his last name?
He's got a tough name. You did a very good job. Thank you.
Yeah. There you go.
You said Darlington? Is that where they are?
Yes, they were in Darlington.
South Carolina. Yeah, I know.
Over on the links. Rory McIlroy surged to a five-stroke victory over Xander Schauffele to win his fourth Wells Fargo Championship, and now turns his focus to the PGA Championship at Valhalla this weekend. Also, the Clubhouse gang will be rooting for Matt Dobbins, who we had on last week from the Met PGA. Go, Matt. And that will wrap it up
for this
week's Clubhouse Report. Go ahead.
Rory is going through a very nasty divorce.
You
might not want to put your money on Rory this weekend.
Yeah, I think Rory's going to be, unless Rory can funnel that into his golf game, but that is so tough to do.
Yeah, that's tough. Yeah.
It's not easy.
It's not nice.
We'll wrap it up for this week's Clubhouse Report.
Wrap it up.
Back to you.
Thank you. That was outstanding.
Yes, it was.
That was.
The soccer was great.
There's the crowd. It took him a moment.
Yeah.
Took him a moment. Looks like the Celtics are off and running up there. Is that what
yes,
I see?
Yes, they are.
Yes, they are in Boston.
Boston.
We had a couple of minutes.
Oh, good. I have some fun topics.
Let's go.
Oh, let's go.
It's 40 love here in the third set. And there's the bell. She's coming off the bench hot, looking for a quick knockdown.
What has happened here?
I don't know.
We've lost control.
Bob.
That's another double fault. She'll be shooting, too. The serve is up. And here comes the left.
What has happened?
Some quick thoughts on some upcoming NFL news.
Yes.
Schedule announcement tonight.
Yes.
We'll all be glued to TV here at lovely MTK. And we must, the hub here at Hotel MTK, now known to be the center of all things social, enjoying a refreshing cocktail,
depends
local draft
on
beer.
What you have for dinner in
and
mind.
Tasty. Now, see, it's tasty.
Okay.
Tasty appetizers, salad, sandwiches, and the chef's nightly dinner specials, including Bob, your favorite, the pretzels earlier.
Oh, they were great.
But before we go to that,
yes,
Tom Brady debut on Fox.
Oh, here we go.
Cowboys.
Don't say
at
that
Browns.
In front of Rob here.
Your thoughts?
I'm not surprised it's going to be a Cowboy game. I was more surprised that Brady stepped out and said he shouldn't have done that roast.
Yes.
That's
just
point.
I mean, you had to think about that, Tom? Come on.
Oh, that your kid, yeah. you're shocked that people picked on you and
what
your
did he think was
failed marriage and, of course, the Bob Kraft massage. Yeah. I mean,
you took the money. Any smart
person around you would have said, Tom, if you do this, have you ever seen something called the Dean Martin roast?
Yeah.
Go watch one because you're about to go through a ringer.
I had little respect for him before and less now. So, and in terms of the Cowboy game, there's always the mute button. So,
I mean, it's like anytime Ryan Rucco does a game for me.
I know how you feel.
Oh,
about
you
that
were laughing. You were laughing pretty good during that.
I mean, listen, I think he'll actually be okay, but I mean, we'll see.
I think Greg Olson got a really raw deal.
Yeah, he did.
And that's
the
part that
he really
did.
That's terrible.
But here's what. All right,
Go ahead.
Breaking news: Greg Olson's going to be my partner this year on Greenwich Cardinal football.
There you go.
I'm proud to announce.
I'm glad you didn't say clubhouse.
I got bumped.
No, you're fine. You're safe.
So, speaking of Brady, Bill Belichick is now, which I'm not, I mean, this is even more controversial, but he's going to appear early in every Manning cast on ESPN.
Yes.
Now, he could be
Mr. Personality.
That's the thing, Dave.
Yeah.
He's going to analyze the games.
We're on to Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Could he fall asleep?
He can put his audience to sleep. We know that. So, that's interesting. But you know what the best thing out of that roast was? It was good to hear them admit that they cheated. That they were upfront about their cheating with all those years with the Patriots.
I mean, come on.
It's like, and Randy Moss saying, hey, why don't we cheat when I was there? Well, you know what? They probably tried, Randy, but...
It's like the Astros pitcher today who got suspended for 10 games for, having a substance on his... Yeah. I mean, the Astros cheating? Who knew?
No, who knew? No.
Come on.
Oh, no, Mr. Biddy.
We probably should maybe make our predictions if we have two more seconds.
You've got exactly 1 minute.
All right, there we go. So, since I have it in front of me...
Go for it.
I'm going to take the Preakness Stakes Field. I'm going to take Catching Freedom, Dave.
Catching Freedom. Wow, well, I'm going to go with... Give me the long shot with, I can't even read it. The one on top.
Dave would like Mugatoo.
Mugatoo?
Yes.
Is that what I picked?
20-1, apparently.
I'll go Mystic Dan just so I don't have to look at it. Bob, you want to throw one out quickly?
Oh, my goodness. Seize the gray. Yeah, there we go.
There we go.
There we have it.
And on that note, we are out of here. We thank you for joining us from Hotel MTK inside the Hub Lena. You're the best. Mike Aruzioni. Let's see. Bruce Beck and Dan Frankel, all great guests. For Dave Taromeo, Sean Kilkelly, Mark Jeffers, Bob Small, I'm Rob Adams. We are out of here. Thanks for listening to The Clubhouse on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com from Mount Kisco. Splash and good night.
This is your community radio station.